Good morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Today is Wednesday, June 3rd, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
The Oregon Board of Forestry is meeting today to consider a major decrease in environmental protection and a major increase in clear-cutting on the Tillamook and Clatsop State Forests. That's today.
The Obama administration is taking until the end of this month to consider whether to defend a 2008 plan to balance dams and salmon in the Columbia River Basin.
And in Washington, D.C. today, they are rearranging the chairs on the USS Healthcare.
Portland area weather, according to the National Weather Service, isolated showers, possible thunderstorms, and highs in the low 80s. And then tonight, chance of showers and thunderstorms and lows in the low 60s.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Here's a huge story that got little to no coverage in mass media. The Oregon Board of Forestry is meeting today in Salem, in fact right now, to consider a major decrease in environmental protection and a major increase in clear cutting on the Tillamook and Clatsop State Forests. There hasn't been a major change in the state's forest management plan since 2001. But a recommendation to give logging a higher priority is on the table today. Joining me is Tim Hermack with the Native Forest Council, a person who perhaps understands why this is a terrible decision that they're about to make, perhaps more deeply than some of the rest of us. We're very, very fortunate to have Tim with us today. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Chris.
Thank you so much for joining us today. First off, it's astonishing that news of this caliber received virtually no attention in the mainstream media. Perhaps they'll cover it after it's happened in order to prevent people from participating. Or perhaps they just didn't get the press release. What do you figure?
Well, they got the press release. And the Sierra Club was at least making that announcement. However, when you look at the State Board of Forestry, the law says only 3 out of the 7 can have a direct tie to the timber industry. And in Oregon, all 7 have some sort of a direct or indirect connection to the timber industry. The timber industry in Oregon has never been sustainable, they've never been renewable, and they've never been responsible. They have been liquidating the Commonwealth. They have been stripping the assets of our state. And that's what they've done, from Minnesota to the West Coast. Kulongoski is intimidated by timber industry money. The legislature is afraid of timber industry money. It's unfortunate because we could have had a sustainable timber industry in this state if they had just taken some level of responsible, you know, a hair off your head now and then or a pint of blood every 2 months. Instead, it was cut and run. And the cheapest or most lucrative investment the industry can make is to buy a politician to change the law.
Tim, how can they defend the idea of changing the forest management plan in order to provide for more clear cutting at a time when building starts are at a record low?
Well, there's two things that are abominations. One is we have climate change. The second greatest contributor to it is clear cutting or logging. Second is we already have enormous financial losses in the timber industry due to a down market and a crashed or destroyed financial system. Unfortunately, some people in the timber industry, some interests, think that in a down market you cut twice as many trees, sell them for less money, so you can still receive the same total dollars. It's kill the goose to take the 2 golden eggs today and to hell with the future.
Thank you so much for that, Tim. I'd like to invite you to come back later this week. It's ironic that we are having the Village Building Convergence, Cascade Summer, Climate Convergence, all coming up in the next few weeks. And yet, down there in Salem, this is even being contemplated at this point in our collective history of civilization. It is outrageous. Thank you so much, Tim.
Anytime. There's a lot more to know.
Yes. Thank you so much. That was, of course, Tim Hermack with the Native Forest Council.
hydroelectric dams on the Columbia and Snake Rivers imperil salmon. There's no question about that. But the feds are pushing for the plan anyway. Oregon is challenging that plan, and that has effects as far away as Montana. Governor Brian Schweitzer is pressing the Obama administration to back hydroelectric dam operations that favor Montana rivers and reservoirs, but face continuous challenges from downstream interests. Oregon and the National Wildlife Federation continue to press for more Montana water in the summer than what is provided in the 2008 biological opinion for the Columbia River Power System.
We're all united by common river systems and geological features. So when we talk about Cascadia, we take a broader view. This is from Idaho. The Obama administration is taking until the end of this month to consider whether to defend a 2008 plan to balance federal dams and imperiled salmon in the Columbia River Basin. U.S. District Judge James Redden has already expressed doubt that the plan does enough to comply with the Endangered Species Act. Now, Idaho's two U.S. senators are both calling for a regional dialogue in an effort to forestall a judicial takeover of the river system. The state's senior senator on Friday even raised the possibility of breaching four federal dams on the lower Snake River as an option that should be discussed.
National forest roads and bridges in 31 states, including Oregon, will get long-needed repairs under an economic stimulus plan announced by the Obama administration. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack said yesterday that $228 million in economic stimulus money will be used for road maintenance and decommissioning and watershed restoration in dozens of national forests.
And the word of the week is pumped storage. Four Northwest governors have sent a letter to Energy Secretary Stephen Chu, voicing their support for studying pumped storage hydropower sites in the region. These wouldn't be dams exactly built on rivers, but rather storage ponds that hold diverted water that could be sent downhill through turbines when extra energy is needed.
The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill giving North Cascades National Park authority to continue stocking up to 42 mountain lakes with fish. The park had said it would end fish stocking in alpine lakes and kill the remaining fish starting July 1st if it didn't get congressional approval to continue.
And if it didn't seem like a money-making proposition, which it did, so they went ahead. And that's the end of that. It doesn't happen often, but a Portland couple won their legal fight with a bank. Yes, Chase Bank, formerly Washington Mutual. The federal appeals court has ruled that Chase must clearly disclose that it can raise the annual percentage rates for cardholders based on credit risk. Cheryl and Walter Barr claimed that Chase violated the Truth in Lending Act. They filed a class action lawsuit against the bank after it nearly tripled the annual percentage rate on their credit card from about 9% to more than 24%. Nice. That was back in 2005.
Moody's Economy.com predicts Oregon, Washington, and three other states will lead the country out of recession as Northwest jobs growth resumes toward the end of this year. Moody's says strong high-tech industries will help propel the Northwest out of the slump first. Texas will also join the first wave of U.S. jobs growth fueled by its energy industries.
Moody's should be investigated by the SEC for that. Beaverton School Board members unanimously rejected a charter school application yesterday that proposed serving some of the district's neediest children. Maybe Beaverton knows a little bit more about the risks of privatizing education than mass media, which consistently reports only the positive side of this question. Board members and the superintendent, Jerry Colonna, cited concerns about I love the name of this company, Nova Learning, spelled K-N-O-V-A, Oregon's, about Nova Learning, Oregon's financial stability. So they're mainly concerned about the financial stability of the company that's running the schools, community interests, and teaching methods. These are just some of the reasons for turning down the proposal.
A man in his 70s has been roaming around Ashland in the nude. Little's known about the visitor. He arrived in town from the Bay Area about 3 weeks ago. His lack of clothing has disturbed some residents and caused at least one girl to cry, but officials say he's not doing anything wrong, at least in a legal sense. Oregon doesn't have any laws restricting nudity, but Ashland requires people to cover their genitals when downtown. In the burbs, no problem. Let it all hang out.
And we go now to national news. Healthcare and healthcare reform is the hot topic in D.C. today. But what are we really saying when we talk about savings? Savings for whom? And when do these reputed triggers actually kick in. Is the next thing necessarily always the best thing? Here to talk about some of these questions that mainstream media has managed to sidestep so far is independent journalist David Rosenthal. Thank you so much. Good morning, David.
Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Well, so Washington, D.C., this is a big topic. Obama's out of town, so they're considering the implications of some of the health care reform decisions that they're about to make on behalf of all of us. And basically what it, took away from the whole thing was it comes down to money. What's going to be the cheapest? What's the most bang for the buck, as the horrible phrase goes? And is it really, are we really getting what we are told that we're going to get?
Right, that's a good question. Yesterday, the Council of Economic Advisers released a report that basically looked at the cost savings that the healthcare industry has promised, that is reducing healthcare spending by 1.5% per year over the next 10 years. And this has been touted as a great step forward for healthcare reform, but we have to remember that this is what the industry has agreed to. And I mean, a lot of questions are remaining on how much the government is willing to stand up to the industry at this point in the healthcare plan that they're about to unveil. That looks like they're getting closer to releasing. And we heard reports yesterday and over the weekend that senators were talking about having a trigger for the public health plan option. And this has angered a lot of healthcare advocates because it would basically be giving health insurers yet another chance to solve some of these problems on their own. And a lot of people, including Senator Chuck Schumer, said it very well yesterday, said that we've given them enough time, and I think the triggers have already been met.
Right, exactly. Yeah. What triggers the trigger point, right?
Yeah.
How do we know when we're there?
Yeah, costs are already destroying our economy and individual lives, and people aren't getting the health care they need. So, you know, the big question is how we're going to stand up to the industry. I also wanted to make one correction about some things I said yesterday about Ron Wyden. Apparently, he is sort of backing off, or at least somewhat supporting the public plan option, that is, if his own plan does not succeed. So he's sort of been hedging himself on that. And then also, Wyden did say that he supported this trigger in the public plan option, if his plan doesn't go forward, which probably it won't.
And don't forget that Wyden was subjected to a huge barrage of media attention for his stance on health care, so that might have some effect on his sort of adjusted position on the issue. Thank you so much for that. That, of course, was independent journalist David Rosenthal.
You can read more about this at thelundreport.org.
Thank you so much. That's thelundreport.org. Thanks so much, David.
Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich said he shouldn't have called Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor a racist, but said he's still concerned that she would bring bias to her decisions. Last week, Gingrich called Sotomayor a reverse racist based on a 2001 speech in which she said she hoped the rulings of a wise Latina would be better than those of a white male without similar experiences.
I absolutely would go for the female Latina over Newt Gingrich's decisions in any case, any day.
Maybe we should check Scalia's record and see how often he's ruled in favor of white men.
Yeah. We don't really need to do very much checking there. That's not a deep research effort. And President Barack Obama has arrived in Saudi Arabia at the start of a Middle East tour aimed at increasing U.S. engagement with the Islamic world. Obama will spend a few hours in Riyadh before heading for Egypt, where he will make a keynote speech in Cairo. He says he wants to revive Middle East peace talks and overcome misapprehensions. Meanwhile, a message said to be from al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden accused Obama of ordering Pakistan to crack down on militants in the Swat Valley. As my old mum used to say, well, you can't please everybody. And as Rolling Stones say, you can't always get what you want.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Wednesday, June 3rd, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Kate Welch. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints, U.S.-backed military action in Pakistan, and that's followed by the bike show at 11 o'clock.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.